Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 146th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Parvash Rohani. She was originally from Iran and was my 100th guest in the April of 2016 when she talked about her background. Today she's back and she's here as a recently recognized recipient of the Trailblazer Award given by Empower the Immigrant Woman Organization on March 18th of this year. So welcome back to New Mainers Speak, Parivash.
Thank you so much, Kate, for inviting me back.
It's always fun to have you in the house.
Thank you.
So on the footer of all your emails, I've noticed you have this quote. It says, "The fact that we imagine ourselves to be right and everyone else wrong is the greatest of all obstacles in the path towards unity. And unity is necessary if we would reach truth, for truth is one," which comes from Baha'i writings. Tell me more about this quote and what it is about unity that speaks to you personally.
For sure. You know, I don't think this concept of superiority and being better or entitled and you have been given some privilege from God to be better than anybody else is a new concept. And you can see it really all over the globe. Like in Iran, in my country, of course it is with religious superiority. In India, with caste system. In America, with race. So it is everywhere. We look around now with economical, political, social law, the same thing. A group of people feel they are better or superior than others, and they have a right to condemn others. I actually am a victim of that because I lived in Iran, and because of my affiliation to the Baha'i faith, I never enjoyed the same right and privileges that other Iranians really enjoyed in life. So I feel that as humanity, if we continue with this behavior, we always find reason and excuse to condemn others. And I feel it stems from the fact that we don't believe in oneness of humanity. Because if we believe that we truly are one race and we all belong to this one human family, I feel all of these concepts of superiority or condemning the others because they are different would fade away. And I wish that the leaders and activists and all people who are leading our community would really truly try to uplift others, empower others, accompany others to reach to their dreams and being really helpful that they fulfill their own dreams, because ultimately we are as humanity and even with our environment, we are so interconnected that anything that we do is going to impact the rest of the global community. So we just have to remember that if even one person is our community is not happy, ultimately we all are not going to enjoy the true happiness. So I think remembering that is important on daily, you know, living, that should be our priority.
We're all on the same team after all.
Exactly, we are. And really, unity is the most powerful force that can unite us, that no other force can.
Yeah. And unity seems to be the central theme of your life, actually, and your passion for the international movement called Education is Not a Crime. Tell us about the kinds of things you've been doing this past year to raise awareness around the issues of Baha'i people being denied access to education in Iran.
Yes. You know, I left Iran. I mentioned this many times in 79 when revolution happened and my house was burned down and I had to leave the country and come to India. And I always really dealt with this survival guilt that, okay, I have left Iran and many of my friends, They are still in Iran, and many of them in 82 were executed. So that made this survival guilt much more heavier for me. And of course, when you come to a new country, you're too busy raising your kid, making money, so you are not burdened on the government. I didn't have the luxury of doing a lot of this activity that I'm doing right now, although it was always my dream. But I did it in a very small way. And a few years ago, when I went back to Iran because my mom wasn't feeling good, I had the opportunity to meet with many Baha'is whose families were executed or they are still spending time in prison. I guess I was reawakened to my dream again and what was very important to me. When I came back, I decided to resign from my job as the ICU nurse and really focus on this campaign, because really nobody else is doing it. You know, in Iran, nobody can defend the Baha'is. In here, I mean, there are a lot of people who are doing it, but I just wanted to do it full time. So after consulting with my husband, and he knew how much I have suffered for this past 32 years feeling this guilt with me, he was 100% behind me, and he said, okay, if you want to resign, resign and just do what you like. And I started actually joining the campaign as a volunteer. So what I do, I just try to find receptive people who are willing to show the documentary, because believe it or not, I have sometimes obstacle in the community that people are not willing or they don't think it is important enough. But there are a lot of people who do. And I think because education is very important to American and freedom, most of the time, that's the reason that they are supporting the campaign and they are willing to give me the opportunity to talk about the campaign and screen the film.
I love how you've taken what felt like guilt and used it like logs on the fire to stoke up this movement to raise awareness about injustice.
Exactly.
Injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you're right. You know, United States is known for unlimited potential, and that's translated into education, right?
Exactly.
In many cases.
Exactly.
Denying people education is a pretty profound way to keep them out of society.
Exactly. And it's so nice to be in a country like U.S. where these are really valued. Education and freedom is valued and it is supported. So I really couldn't be happier that I'm an American citizen and I can enjoy this country with all of these laws that are protecting the human rights.
You're here. And you've sent four of your four children to college, where they have gotten to study what they wanted.
Yeah.
That has to feel like a victory for you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
So it was this kind of organizing that you've been doing that caused you to be recognized as a trailblazer this year in 2017. But it is hardly all you do. You have also been a key organizer in Portland's annual World Refugee Day celebration. You've been a board member in the interfaith environmental group called Maine Interfaith Power and Light. And you were an organizer in the Many in One counter rally in 2003, which supported Somalis in Lewiston. And you're generally willing to participate in almost anything that benefits the environment, women, and children, I understand.
That's right.
That's you. So how did you personally become such a bulldog for human rights and inclusion?
You know, it probably because of my own personal experience in my country in Iran. You know, from the time I remember, I was always subjected to hardship and persecution. So it's really, I think in one way, now I'm counting my blessing that I had those opportunities to deal with hardship, because I think it gives you a different inner strength. And it's really helpful later on in life that you can not fall, you know, with every little thing and, you know, didn't think that you're helpless.
Yes, you've become resilient.
Yes, you
build up some calluses.
Exactly. And I'm happy. Although when I was little, I remember I would come home crying because, you know, somebody threw a stone at me or pulled my hair or ripped my book. I threw my homework or something. And I remember my mother would tell me, as a Baha'i, that's your reality. That's your reality. You better get used to it. Because as Baha'is, we don't have right in this country. So we cannot do anything. You know, you try your best to stay away from harm's way. But it wasn't that I was asking for that.
It comes looking for
Yeah. You know, but really, I would get frustrated with my parents sometimes that what they're talking about. They should come and protect me and fight for me. But, you know, as now at age 58, I look back and I feel maybe that constructive resilience, that was the way that my parents really dealt with the situation, was the best way. Because I look around and I see all of the things that are happening because we are not actually adopting that constructive resilience or not really doing the job. And most of the time, things that are done in unity with love is the one that have a lasting effect. Even if we are not winning, I think the process itself is just beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, when you are on the way to getting something, you have not hurt anybody. You know, and you haven't really overlooked the right of others or justice for others. And I feel I'm forever grateful to my parents for that. And it made me a stronger person. So all of those experiences taught me that I cannot be quiet. Because when I was in Iran and when they burned my home and my neighbors kept quiet, when in a school they threw a stone at me and nobody defended me, although they all knew I have nothing that I have done to deserve that. And with all the things I did to help them and they really overlooked these injustices, I am much more committed not to stand silence because I feel that really as a human being, we cannot do that. We need to stand up for others so otherwise their rights are ignored. And it doesn't need to be. Sometimes it is a very little minute encouragement or accompaniment or empowering others to do what they want to do. That it's going to do the job. It's not extraordinary. You don't need to be a superhero. Because sometimes I feel when we look at things as that, okay, only superheroes can do that, it means that we want to separate ourselves from doing something positive. Because we say we are not superhero. How can we make the change?
Yeah, it's the opposite of unity.
Yes, exactly, right? Exactly. So sometimes this little smile, smiling at somebody who you feel need that smile, it doesn't cost us anything, but it can change their world for a better. You know, so it's not really the big thing sometimes, it's a small thing. And I think I was committed more when I came here and I saw, wow, oh my God, people, everybody, you know, stand for justice and unity. And it is easy to get a group of people who want to do the same thing as you do. So it wasn't really hard coming here in this country and pursuing this kind of thing that you always dream to do.
I'm so glad. If you're just joining us, welcome. You are listening to New Mainers Speak, and my guest today is Parivash Rohani, one of the five women recognized as outstanding Maine women with multicultural background who inspire others through their character, service, and leadership. 2 years ago, Parivash, you were the moderator for the premier Empower the Immigrant Woman conference. And then this past spring, you were actually recognized for being the trailblazer that you mm-hmm. are. What did it feel like for you to be recognized in such a public way?
You know, truly I was humbled, but at the same time I feel there are thousands of women in our community who in their own quiet way making changes, doing things in the community that are not recognized. And I feel really that honor is theirs. So we are really in this together, because I don't think anybody who is involved with community work really does it to get recognition. And I think the most important recognition for all those people who are involved with the community is to see things are changing for better. So that's the most important recognition. And I feel, I don't know, I'm biased because I'm a woman, but I feel really this is the nature of women, to nurture, to think about the community, to be more inclusive, to think about education. I go to many, many, many community gatherings, and I'm always delighted to see that majority are women. Of course, you know, I'm hoping that at one point our counterpart also join in, because I feel we need both perspective. So we need as women and men work together, because it make it much more richer experience for both of us and for our community. Because the reality is we live in a community that there are men and there are women. So we need to collaborate in many area. But I think, you know, really many women are too busy to make changes in the community, and they don't even realize they are doing it. So I truly am so honored. And, you know, this recognition I really dedicated to the Baha'i, two Baha'i leaders, women, who are in prison for 9 years. And when I received that, you know, recognition, I said, I'm dedicating to them, because they were always my role model, and I hope one day they would be free and they could share their experiences with millions of women, their constructive resilience, the way that they survived 9 years away from their family, children, and many occasions that was significant in their family life that they missed. Mm-hmm. So I'm dedicating it to Mahfash and Fariba, who are still in prison, one more year to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that you would do that. That's perfect for who you are. I'll stand up here and hold the microphone, but I'm here for all of us. That's you. You said during the awards process that if we don't want isolation, we need to do something about it. Do you have ideas about everyday kinds of ways immigrants might reach out to their communities and make better bridges?
Mm-hmm. You know, I feel that many times when we are having meeting or gathering or discussion about immigration and integration, we are very focused on immigrants, you know, and what they want and how we can do this for them or that. And I feel really this community, if we want to make the community a community for everyone, regardless if you are immigrant, asylum, refugee, or you are native to Maine, we shouldn't have all these barriers. At the same time, I think as immigrants, we do need to take responsibility as well. Because, you know, we cannot clap if we, you know, don't have two hands. So we can, it is not a one-way street, it is two-way street. So when I came to Maine, of course, I left everything that was familiar to me, everything that I knew, and I came to Maine. So if I feel I'm lonely and I need connection, wouldn't you think that I should be the one who initiated? Because my neighbor didn't know if I need help or if I need connection. So I feel really it doesn't matter who take the first step, we just need to do it. You know, we don't wait because I'm immigrant, the native Mainer have to take the first step. No, I feel those things should not exist. We are one community, we need to work together, and if we want to make it better, we all have to come together and do it. And I always say that if I die and they dissect me, they cannot find the gene that say Parivash have a refugee gene. They probably find the gene that human gene and everybody else has it. So for that, the fact that we are so connected and we have so much in common, we need to really focus on that. Because otherwise we are just raising other walls, refugee wall, asylum wall, I don't know, all of these walls that instead of bringing us together, it separates us because we think we need a specific activity for Parivash because she's a refugee. No, I want the same thing that anybody else wants. I want a safe place, education for my children, and a very quiet life. And I don't think it is, you know, something that nobody else is looking for. It's very common.
It's universal, isn't it?
Very universal. So that's, it really starts with inviting each other to our home, having tea, nothing complicated, and share our holidays together.
I think that's a lovely way to do it. Have you heard of the app called Eat With?
No.
It's a way that people can cook. It's kind of like Uber for dining out.
Uh-huh.
So like you could make a meal and I could sign up to come to your house and you could serve me a traditional Iranian dish. And several other people who are visiting Portland might sign up too. And you've all been checked out by the Eat With board. And anywhere you can go eat with locals.
Wow.
In their homes.
You need to give me that information.
I would love that. I just heard about it on the radio. I was so tickled and delighted.
Is it true or it is something fake news?
I pulled over, wrote it down, Googled it. It appears to
it
be
is.
True.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Very interesting.
So this coming year, Empower the Immigrant Woman will recognize 5 more community members for their achievements.
I think 3.
Oh, 3.
Yes.
You're scaling back.
I think the last I got, it was 3.
Okay, thank
yeah.
you. So next year, they'll recognize 3 more beautiful women. Currently, they are looking for both people to serve on their selection committee and soon for applications for this next year's Trailblazers. I will put a link to this on the show's Facebook page, website, and if you're interested in either helping or nominating, please do reach out and join in like Parivash has done. It's EmpowerTheImmigrantWoman.org will get you all the information you need. So what kinds of things are you hoping to accomplish over the next decade, Parivash? You are unleashed on the world, and you have drive. You have real, authentic drive that comes from knowing disenfranchisement and wanting for everyone else. You're like the grandmother of the community now, reaching out and making sure everyone has access to education. In a very wise and beautiful way, what are you going to do?
If I'm still alive, I have it. Nowadays, you never know if you're waking up the next morning or not.
I think that's been true for time eternal.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know why I said nowadays. I mean, it's probably because too many unexpected thing has happened that,
yeah.
I feel that way. But definitely, of course, the education, bringing more awareness. And I hope I see more collaboration within the community. Because, sometimes, I'm at different places and we are talking, it seems that people think that we have lack of resources, but truly we don't. We have too many resources, but there is no communication. So none of these resources that we have within the community are not connecting or talking, or unfortunately, sometimes everybody wants to get credit, so they don't want to give up. So it's really, that's what I'm hoping for. Because
so wait, more unity?
Yes. all the answers to the question. But truly, I think that's really the way to go, because we need to collaborate. And for all of us, really, is for our community to be better, no matter who do it, because we all ultimately would be the beneficiary of that. Whether you do it as a Kate Manahan or somebody else, ultimately we all enjoy. when the community is better and safer and everybody is happy. So we have to focus on the result and on the intention most of the time, I guess.
I think you're going to just dive in wherever you're needed. That's kind of your style, isn't it? Paravash, you are a bright force, and I get the sense that you really care about every single person in the whole world. Thank you for having the courage to put yourself out there to advocate for more justice and to break down barriers. And thank you very much for being my guest again today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this interview in its complete form or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainerspeak. New Mainers Speak is also rebroadcast on Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on WERU in Blue Hill and Bangor area. A special thank you today goes to Peter Ackerman, who is a rising junior at the University of Vermont and grew up in central Maine. He's here today capturing some video footage for a film he's creating about immigration in Maine. So here's wishing him the best. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with Paravash Rohani. So she selected a song called We Are One. And I'll pop it on for you today. Thank you all for listening.
Out room in Belfast, a young boy is crying. He's alone and he don't understand how the teachings of one book built on love and understanding could cause the hurt and killing in his land. In an old part of Jerusalem, children are playing. They run and laugh the way that it should be. But one will wear the star and one will wear the crescent. They'll grow up and change from friends to enemies. But we are one. The flowers of one garden. Let the walls come down and stand here together. We are one family. In a Pakistani village, a young boy on crutches takes a fall and lies helplessly there. And he holds out his hand, but no one will take it. They won't touch him or the clothes that he wears. On a side street in Selma, a black child is sitting in a squad car, protected from the whites. 'Cause they're burning a cross to send her a message, and you can see the fear in her eyes. But we are one. The flowers of one garden, we're one. The leaves of one tree. Let the walls come down and stand.